And now it's time for Power of Prophecy with your host, former professor at the University of Texas at Austin, career United States Air Force officer, and best-selling author, Tex Mars.
Hello, friends. This is Tex Mars. Welcome to another edition of Power of Prophecy. Well, today we have Secrets, another Secrets volume. Once a month we do these volumes, and I take out of my files things that, well, the controlled mass media dare not report to you. And when they do, of course, they hide the facts, and you really end up knowing nothing. Well, I think that's wrong. I think you should know things, and that's what we do here on our Secrets volumes. You know, I'm working on a book now entitled Pastors and Churches Gone Wild. Look for it about the 1st of November. I think it'll be in our November newsletter, the 1st of November. Pastors and Churches Gone Wild. It's going to be a big book, a lot of pictures in it. And it's all about, the de-Christianization of America. You ever heard that term? I've never heard it. I've just made it up. The de-Christianization of America. That's been ongoing now for many years. And the Christian establishment has bought into the worst lies you can imagine. And you know, I've been doing programs, Pastors and Churches Gone Wild, for many years now, 10 or 15. I decided to collect all my many true stories about pastors and churches gone wild and put them in a book. And when I finished the book, I've finished it now, and it's going out to get printed up and all that. It won't be available till about 1st of November. But I thought, you know, these stories are so incredible that people won't even believe it. They'll think I'm just making all this up. And, you know, I went back in then and I added dates and times and photographs and publications and sources, references. Otherwise, people would throw bricks at me and say, "You're lying. These things cannot be happening in churches." Well, they are. They're happening everywhere. The Christian establishment is, I guess they used to say in Germany, kaput. It's gone. Now, some of you may say, "Well, wait just a minute. The Bible says that we're to smash the gates of hell, that the church of Jesus Christ cannot be stopped." Note, I did not say the church of Jesus Christ. You're right. If you're a member of that church of Jesus Christ, you cannot be stopped. You have the power of the Holy Spirit in you. And the devil can't stay, he can't stand against that. Every time I see a great campaign started up against the conspiracy, against the New World Order, I ask the question, is this campaign begun? Is it run by Christians, true Christians? If not, well, it would be like a wooden ship dashing against a rocky coast. It's gone. Won't last long. But if it's by a Christian, boy, then the New World Order has problems. Real problems. Because the puniest Christian has more power than the most powerful New World Order slave. It's the establishment that is sickening, that is disgusting, that has betrayed and committed treason against Jesus Christ. But you and I, we're the foot soldiers. We're the ones the world says are nothing. Well, they'll see. They'll find out that we have the power. Did you know you have the power, my friends, to overturn the New World Order if it's God's will? You just go forth doing what God tells you to do, and you'd be amazed what can happen. People told me they're going to close you down. The IRS, the FBI, all these agents, they're going to come after you. The big church denominations, the Vatican, you wait and see. They're going to turn you every which way but loose, Tex Mars. But they haven't. I'm still here. I've been visited by a lot of those people. and the Jewish, you know, organizations, and they threaten, they sometimes they try little bribes and all kinds of things. But I'm still here and still going strong. And I'm going to be here till Jesus returns, or till I go on to be with him, whichever is, you know, first comes first. I would prefer that he comes, but, you know, I can't tell him what to do. He's got it already planned out. I wish I knew. I'd probably write a book and say, Jesus is going to come on this date. But then I'd be going against the Bible. The Bible says no man knows the day or hour. So I couldn't say that. Not with a real conscience. A lot of people out there saying September's the date. September's it. The Shemitah of the Jews, the blood moons are here. Oh, the end of the world has come. Yom Kippur. You know, the Jewish High Holy Day is in September. That's it. We're all finished. They say that every few years. You know, people make up stuff. Blood moons. Well, okay, so the moon's going to be look a little bit bigger and a little redder. And, you know, there's cosmic reasons for that. They're not supernatural. I think the world's still going to be here after September. Because the Bible says that Jesus is going to come, return, like a thief in the night. A thief in the night. Now, when everybody's out there bellowing and screaming and saying, oh, woe is us, I've had people write to me and say, Tex, get ready. Sell everything you have. I mean, get rid of it all because the world's ending. It is. This Jewish guy said that. They're giving me the name of all these Messianic Christian Jewish rabbis. He said this. Jonathan Kahn, he said the end of the world's here or whatever. I heard it on, you know, TBN or some radio station or whatever. John Hagee wrote a book about the blood moons. It means the end of the world are horrible things, and oh, man. Hey, folks, horrible things are going on all the time. They've been going on for a long time. But that doesn't have anything to do with prophecy. The stock market could rise or fall, but that doesn't have a lot to do with prophecy, because Jesus is going to come back like a thief in the night. You know, I think people are going to be prosperous. They're going to enjoy their lives. They're going to say, wow, everything's great. Nothing can happen to us. That's when he comes. When you least expect it. Now everybody's expecting it. I remember in 1988 when a few years after I began this ministry, there was a little booklet out. It was called 88 Reasons Why Jesus Christ Will Return in 1988. And, you know, I had the number one best-selling book in the country, Mystery Mark of the New Age, the best-selling Christian book. And it was a little old booklet, about 25 pages. It went ahead of my book. I mean, I got about 50 copies. People were sending me copies. Tex, this is it. Read this book and discover the end of the world. First of all, I don't know why I need to sell everything I've got and get ready. I mean, you know, what am I going to do with all the money I get? I guess I won't get much money, but what I do get, if the world's going to end, what am I going to do with if I sell my house, my cars, and, you know, what am I going to do with that money? Well, I can leave it to my wicked, I don't know who, because all of the wicked are going to be left. We're going to go up the rapture. They say, there's another fallacy too, but that's what they say. So why should you sell everything and go up in the mountains and wait? Why don't you just wait where you're at? I'd prefer to be right here on this radio program if Jesus came back today. Wouldn't that be neat? Doing what you love, being a truth teller, and Jesus returns. I'd like to be doing his work. I like to be spending every penny I've got for Jesus. How about that? I'd like to just, everything we've got here, just put it in the operation for Jesus. Unless we do that every day. You know, we're taking up a collection now on the radio for the children's home. And we also are trying to help out our employees. This is actually employees month. And then next month we begin the children's home offering. I'd rather be doing that, wouldn't you, Jerry? Jerry's my broadcast engineer over here. I mean, our employees need, they really need help. I'd rather be helping them. Wouldn't that be great when Jesus comes? Should I take them in and say, I'm going to cut your salary because Jesus is coming. Don't worry. You won't need any more money. What kind of guy am I to do that? I know you're not. And folks, don't give a cent to our people because Jesus is going to come. What's that all about? I know a lot of things like that happening. I remember a Christian ministry in Colorado. All of the people of the church sold everything they had, and they went to Israel, moved to Israel. Well, then the Jews got upset at them. Well, what are all these Christians doing here, you know? And so the FBI came to see me, and they say, did you have anything to do with this ministry moving to Israel? Well, I certainly didn't. They said, well, I understand the guy listened to you on the radio a lot, and he believed in the end of the world. Well, no, he didn't. Because I don't know when the end of the world is coming, so he couldn't have listened to me on that. Well, we're trying to find out why the guy moved there. Well, go ask him. Well, he's in Israel. What does it matter? I mean, let him live there for a while. They'll all be trailing back to the United States. It'll be failed. And at first, they'll say, well, he'll probably name a new date, and postpone it. Then finally, they'll all be disillusioned and come back to the United States. So why worry about it? Well, they said, well, it may end up with all of them drinking Kool-Aid or something like down in Guyana with Jim Jones. Well, okay. So what are you going to do about that? Have people go and speak to them and try to convince them. Oh, my. That's what I try to do with these people. Write me letters. The blood moons are here. Get ready. Oh, my goodness. Well, they're interesting, I suppose. You know, and Jesus did say there would be signs in the heavens. So the Jews take up this blood moon nonsense. And they say, there are the signs in the heavens. Well, I realize, you know, there's a lot of signs in the heavens. I watched, what is it, the Perseid meteor, there's about hundreds of these meteors. You can see them in the sky right here in Austin, Texas. I don't know if it's across the United States. I believe it was. I could have said, well, the end of the world is here. Look at this Perseid meteor display. Look at that up there. The sky is changing. Sometimes I'm driving in my car, you know, and on those nights when Venus, the planet, is really brilliant. Have you ever noticed that, folks? It's like a diamond up there. It's bigger than every other star, Venus. Now, Venus has a lot to do with pagan theology, but I'm not going to get into that now. It's actually, Venus is another name for Lucifer, Satan, the morning star. It's bright. And sometimes I want to just say, well, maybe Jesus is coming again, but I know that would be wrong. It's just Venus. It's just brighter tonight. Well, okay. Folks, we need to get on working for the Lord. We don't want to spend our time in this blood moon stuff or whatever. We really need to get our mind focused. You know, the Bible says Christians have a sound mind. We have a sound mind. We don't fall for all this nonsense. Well, the Pope must have fallen for a lot of nonsense. He recently wrote a letter out, and he said, he wrote it to an author of a book, a lesbian. She had written a book called, what is it now? Something about, Why Do I Have Two Mummies? Or mommies. Yeah, I guess they are mummies, right? Well, why do I have two mummies? It's a book to teach kids that lesbianism is good. You can have two mommies. Well, the lesbian author wrote the Pope a letter and sent the book to him. And he answered her letter. And the Pope said, thank you very much for your new book. He said he's read it, and he thinks it'll be a wonderful Christian book of instruction for children and adults both. Huh? It will be a Christian book? Wow. Well, you know, the Pope did say, when asked, is homosexuality a sin? He said, who am I to judge homosexuals? Huh? Who am I to judge homosexuals? Well, Pope Francis, you're the man. I mean, You're supposed to be infallible. You know everything. You act for Jesus right here on this planet. Everything you say, well, you know, about the church, ex-cathedra, when you speak for the church, it's perfect. There's no mistake about it. Anything you say, that's it. Now, I'm not going to get into the fact that it seemed like it's the Supreme Court, you know, changes its mind. You know, back we had the Dred Scott decision of our Supreme Court, and they ruled that slavery's okay. Then a few years later, you know, slavery's out. Then, you know, for some reason, same-sex marriage was bad for over 200 years, but suddenly the Supreme Court said, well, yeah, it's constitutional. You got to do it. Well, the Pope, all these popes changed their minds. Well, let me tell you, the Pope is coming to the United States. He's going to start off on September the 23rd. He's going to meet with Barack Obama, our president, in the White House. And he's going to pray with U.S. bishops. And he's going to canonize a 18th century Spanish priest named Junipero Serra. But before he comes to the United States, this New World Order Pope, and by the way, he has called for a New World Order. He says only a central authority can rule things. And he's called for climate change. If climate change is here, the whole world is going to be, you know, a disaster, a catastrophe, if we don't stop global warming. I don't know how we're going to stop global warming, Jerry. What do you think? Maybe everybody can buy a new refrigerator and open the door all day and, you know, or something like that. I don't know. But anyway, listen, the Pope comes to Washington, D.C. on September 23rd, okay? But he goes to Cuba. Remember, this Pope is a communist. Down in Argentina, he was known as a communist. And so he goes to Cuba before he comes to the United States. He stops off in Cuba, where he will meet with President Raul Castro, Fidel's brother. Yeah, he'll be right there in Havana, meeting with Castro. Isn't that exciting? He meets with the commies first. A stopover on his way to Washington, D.C., where he meets with another commie named Barack Obama. So he's already met with two commies in his first two stops. Now, on the 24th of September, he addresses a joint session of the U.S. Congress. Hey! Where is separation of church and state? Has the president of the Southern Baptist Convention, have you ever been invited to address the whole Congress, the Senate and the House assembled together? This guy's not even an American. Hey, come on. How about the other churches of the United, the Assembly of God, the Lutheran Church, the Episcopal? I mean, none of them are invited. Southern Baptist is the biggest, but why isn't the president, why isn't he invited there? He's persona non grata, he's not invited. But they let the Pope come in and speak to him. Boy, they say he'll be speaking about climate change, global warming. That's something very dear to Barack Obama's heart, you know. It's very dear to the rich of this world because they're going to make billions off of all this global warming junk. If they can convince the people to go along with it, they're going to make billions. And the Pope will get his cut of that, believe me, one way or another. So he believes in it too. So on the 24th of September, he addresses a joint session of the U.S. Congress, defying the separation of church and state. Then that same day, he will meet with homeless people. Now, I'm thinking of that, meeting homeless people. This guy lives in the most opulent surroundings. He has a fancy apartment in this gigantic place called St. Peter's Cathedral. Then he has other, you know, mansions. I mean, he can go around the world and just live sumptuously. What's he going to tell those homeless people? I'm suffering like you are. He can't do that. The guy's living like a rich man, like a billionaire. I feel your needs. I feel your pains, he will tell the homeless. Then, the next day, on the September 25th, he will address the United Nations General Assembly. Wow. Think about that. He's first met with our U.S. Congress. Now he goes and meets with the United Nations General Assembly, all the nations there to listen to the Pope. Now, I ask again, has the leader of the Lutherans or the Episcopals or the Assemblies of God or, I mean, these huge charismatic churches, have they been invited to speak at the United Nations? How about the Southern Baptist Convention? But the Pope gets to go. What is that all about? Wow. He also holds an interfaith service. Interfaith. That will be where all the Muslims and the Buddhists and the Jews, and they all go to hear him. And I'm sure he'll be telling them that Jesus is the only way. Oh, yeah. You can bet your bottom dollar that's not going to happen. You'll see a mass at Madison Square Garden. Now, 3 days later, I guess he rests up a little bit. Then he shows up in Philadelphia on September the 26th. Oh, I'm sorry. It's just one day. Okay. One day later in Philadelphia. Now, what's he going to do in Philadelphia? First, he leads a mass. Then he meets with Hispanics about immigration. Oh, yes. He's for unbridled immigration. He's for closing down the border patrol and just letting them all come in. He's for blending all the nations together. So he's going to meet with the Hispanics and talk about immigration. Well, that's on Saturday, September 26th, in Philadelphia. Then on Sunday, September 27th, the Pope, boy, this is a busy week, he'll visit Philadelphia's largest prison. He visits the prisoners in Philadelphia's largest prison. You see, he believes that America has imprisoned too many people. We're a nation that doesn't tolerate evil. That's not true, of course. We got millions of horrible criminals running the streets. But yet we've got millions that are in there for drug violations, you know, nonviolent. Oh, yeah. And he's going to talk to them about how, you know, they're suffering so much. Yeah, they're suffering. Folks, let me give you my opinion on the people in prison for drug violations. They need to be given worse sentences than they are. If they've been given 10 years in prison, they need to spend 20 years. And if they've been given 20, they need to spend 40. Why do I say that? Because they're drug dealing. Most of these people, it's not just they're just not users, they're drug dealers. And they're killing people. Killing people. There's millions of Americans that have been murdered by drugs. These people are murderers. That's not a nonviolent crime. That's not something you ought to give them probation and let them go. Now, imagine what it would be like if all these drug dealers got out of prison all at once. Can you imagine? Wow. Well, the Pope's going to suggest that we're keeping them too long. So that's, he'll be here 9 days, and these are the things that he'll be doing. And I wanted you to know it'll be very important for you. I realize you want to keep track of every moment. That's what I do. I keep track of the Pope's every second. It's exciting and thrilling. You know, Jerry, these people are going to believe that. They're my friends, but they're going to believe that I've really gone berserk. I've gone wild myself. Hey, folks, I am kidding. I promise you, I'm kidding. You know, they keep talking about hackers hacking into various systems. Now, the most recent ones, they hacked in Ashley Madison. They released, you know, like 34 million names. Now, Ashley Madison is a place where you can, you know, you pay so much for a subscription, and they match men and women in your area, so you go have sex, you know, like on the lunch hour and things like that. You have adultery. You can be married or single. Have adultery. And then, you know, it's just, I guess it's like nonchalant stuff. You know, you don't really, it doesn't really matter. Just go and do it. And they keep matching you with different girls and different guys and all that. I suppose, I understand that. I've seen them do ads on TV for Ashley Madison. Well, somebody hacked into their computers, and then they published the names of all the people. So now we know all these cruds that are out there committing adultery. It turns out that Joe Biden's son is one of them. Yeah, he's on there. He said, wait just a minute. I didn't do it. Russia entered my name in there. But it has his website and everything else, his email address. He knew about it. But, you know, he's a member of Ashley Madison, Joe Biden's son. Well, you know about these hackers. they're saying that we've got hackers in China and Russia that are hacking all of our stuff, our military secrets, and they're finding out. Of course, Hillary, they hacked her computer. She didn't have any real firewall or anything on it. They found out everything about that they wanted to know about the United States, all the secret and top secret stuff from Hillary Clinton's computer, her private computer, where she put all the government stuff on there. But I'm reading, it says here, while the United States is worried about the Chinese government hacking all of our systems, in fact, Beijing has built a separate internet for the 649 million Chinese that are online. Can you believe that? There's 649 million Chinese online. 649 Chinese people use computers. That's an astonishing figure in itself. And they're going to have a separate internet. It's not going to be linked into ours. Now, I think the Chinese are very ingenious about this. They don't want their people to know about what's going on in the world. And they certainly don't want them to find out about these conspiracy sites. You know, Tex Mars has a video about the Red Chinese and the New World Order. They don't want their people to know about that video. So they're going to restrict them, and they'll have an internet only for China. You know, the internet was intended to be worldwide. But now they're going to put all these restrictions on it and probably going to close down many websites and all that. And the 649 million Chinese people are going to have their own internet. So they won't be able to find out about the conspiracy or the truth about their own government. They're going to be fed propaganda in their own internet. That's sort of incredible, isn't it? Well, the ice is melting in Alaska, and Obama says that means global warming is for sure. Now, I thought it melted every summer, but they say this year it seems to be melting a lot sooner. Now, this happens every so many years, you know, but Obama doesn't want to admit that. Look, the icebergs are melting. It's global warming. Yeah, dummy, it's summer. It's summer in Alaska. You know, they don't even wear heavy coats in the summer there. Well, he's got on a little light jacket. I see him in a picture here standing outside a big mountain, and there's ice that's melting down it. He said, that's a sign of global warming. We got to do something fast. Boy, that's pretty audacious to say that human beings can do something about global warming. We can't start it. We can't stop it. The world will continue on, it says in Ecclesiastes, until Jesus Christ comes again. That's it. Well, did you know that more than half of the immigrants in the United States are on welfare? More than half are on welfare. And that costs a lot of money. Welfare means not only do they get payments from the government, they get the Obama phone. Millions of them got that. But these immigrants are getting cash stipends, they're getting Medicaid, you know, medical care. I mean, you know, it's incredible how just money to live, food stamps. Makes you want to be an immigrant, doesn't it? That's why Donald Trump said that immigrants are treated better than our own veterans. Veterans don't get that stuff. And this costs incredible amounts of money. Immigrants, more than half are on welfare. How many immigrants are there? Well, according to the Center for Immigration Studies, there are over 42 million immigrants. Oh, you heard there were only 11 million? Well, that's what the government lies about. But the Center for Immigration Studies says they counted up to 42 million, 42.1 tenths to be exact. Wow. Are we going to do something about immigration? Maybe if we have the right president. Who's the right president? Well, I know of only Donald Trump. He's the only one that said he's going to do something. I'm not touting him, but he's the only one. No one would be talking about it if it hadn't have been for his statements on immigration. He's going to build a wall. He's going to deport them. Now, how can you deport them? Well, that's what our law says. He's going to comply with the law and deport them. We'll talk more about immigration and about the immigrants and the refugees and Planned Parenthood and a whole bunch of things. I'll tell you, we got it all right here on Power of Prophecy. I'm Tex Mars. Stay with us, won't you? The War Against Putin. Hello, folks. Tex Mars again here. We're offering a book this month called The War Against Putin: What the Government Media Complex Is Not Telling You About Russia. You know, Vladimir Putin has favored and is supporting the Orthodox Christian Church in Russia. He supports all the Christians of Russia. He wants Christianity to be prominent. Now, you remember Obama went to Cairo, Egypt, gave a speech there, and he says, "We are not a Christian nation." Wow. But Putin says, "We are a Christian nation." He's even had a law passed there that says propaganda by gay groups is not that's a crime. They cannot subvert the people by going out and recruiting people to be homosexuals. And same-sex marriage, that's not a law. That they're against that. There's laws against that in Russia. It seems that the Christians of America should appreciate Putin. Vladimir Putin, he's the leader of the Christian world. But we're being told all the time that he's, oh, watch out, he's another Hitler. He's another Stalin. He's the worst person in the world. Watch out for him. He's a tyrant, a dictator. Well, he won an election. Won about 90% of the vote. A free election, by the way. People voted freely. But he went down into the Crimea in Ukraine and he took that area for Russia. He grabbed territory. It's like Hitler taking, wait just a minute now. The people of Crimea are 96% Russian. So he said, well, that province should be Russia. But the people need to vote on it. So they had a vote there. And it went 96% to align themselves with Russia. Now, Putin says, okay, you're Russian then. But America said, you can't do that. And the Ukraine, you know, they just, the Ukraine is run by dictatorial Jews. Poroshenko, they call him Porky. He's a Jew. He's opening up concentration camps there while screaming about Russia taking Crimea. But he doesn't tell you that 96% of the people want to be Russian. Now, Crimea was a Russian province until about 15 years ago. Then it switched to Ukraine. Now, Russia's taking it back. It's sort of like Texas. I'm from Texas. If Mexico came and took back Texas, we'd be a little angry about that, wouldn't we? But if 96% of the people of Texas said, we want to be part of Mexico, I think that's the way it ought to go, don't you? I'd feel very sorry. I think I'd be moving out of Texas real soon. I wouldn't stay here because I don't want to be part of Mexico. And you know, the native Texans, I say native, you know, Jim Bowie, Houston, all those people, they fought a civil war. They fought a war against Mexico. Why? Because they wanted freedom. Because they had a dictator named Santa Anna running the Mexican government. They said, we don't want to be part of Mexico. And many Texans fought and died. But they won their war for independence. They did back in the 1830s. Texas won its war of independence. You know, I think people should be, whatever the people want, they should get. Well, we have this book, The War Against Putin, by Michael King, M.S. King. K-I-N-G. He's a great writer. We have a couple of books we're offering about. He called some Planet Rothschild. I'll call and ask about those books too. Incredible. We have volume one and volume two of Planet Rothschild. Man, ask about that too when you phone us, would you? Or look on our newsletter this month. September, yes, right here in the September newsletter. And this book called The War Against Putin. Phone us right now and order this book. It's just $17. It's big format, just $17. We want you to have it. It'll take you on an exciting crash course. You know, a crash course journey. You'll find out about Russia from the days of the Tsars, the Communist Revolution, through Stalin and World War II, up to today's Putin. Is he a tyrant or is he a hero? I think he's a Christian hero. I think the guy deserves the Nobel Peace Prize. I do. As the author, Michael King, told me, this is one of the greatest stories never told. He's written the book on it. The War Against Putin. I mean, Obama and all O'Reilly on Fox News, they're always telling you, Putin is a monster. What has he done? He got elected. He supports the Christian church. You're like a good man to me. He's a hero to the Russian people. Why not you and me? I'd rather have him as my president than Obama. I would. But we're sort of saddled with Obama right now. And in any case, you want to know why I think the way I do, get this book, The War Against Putin. Phone us toll free, 1-800-234-9673, and say, Tex, send me that War Against Putin. 1-800-234-9673. You can write to us, too, at Power of Prophecy, 1708 Patterson Road, Austin, Texas, 78733. Send $17 and $5 shipping and handling. As for the book, The War Against Putin, that's what, $22? It's worth it. You can go on our website, powerofprophecy.com, or just click in texmars.com. And there you'll see this book, As for the War Against Putin. I highly recommend it to you. You'll find out the truth about Vladimir Putin. All right, let's return to our regular program. We're discussing secrets today. You know, more than half of the immigrants, I've told you before, are on welfare. But here's something else for you to know. It's an interesting thing. The United Nations has a refugee resettlement program, but America has one too. And the United Nations has agents working around the world recruiting. Yes, right, that's right, recruiting refugees. How can you recruit a refugee? Well, just get you a desk and put it up on the street and say, anybody want to come to America? Come sign up. Is that the way it's done? Yes, that's the way it's done. They tell me that 90% of the people around the world qualify as a refugee. They just have to seek asylum and they'll get to come. Now, Christians are not allowed. I think we probably only brought in a couple hundred Christians as refugees last year. But we brought in over 1 million Muslims. Huh? You say, what? Oh, you thought that immigration was a problem of Mexicans coming over. Oh, no, 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 no. These are not illegal aliens. These are qualified refugees. How do they qualify? Well, the Obama administration has opened the floodgates, my friends. And now if you're in a country like India, over 1 billion people, Pakistan, a couple of 100 million, Indonesia, about 120 million, Brazil, Argentina, in dozens of countries around the world, people are poor. They're poorer than you and I. And they say, well, that will make them, if they want to qualify, if they want to ask for it, that will qualify them. Now, see, the refugee law really says that only people that are victims of a natural disaster, a flood or hurricane, typhoon, or fear, people who fear persecution, religious or otherwise, or people who are victims of violence and war. Well, we got plenty of victims of violence and war. America's been prosecuting a war in the Middle East and North Africa for, what, 20 years now? We've invaded, Iraq a couple of times, Syria, Jordan, we got troops there. Where else we got troops? Of course, Libya, Yemen, Somalia. It keeps growing, my friends. We're having war after war after war. Of course, we're helping Israel kill people. The Palestinians, we're giving them all the arms so they can kill those people. And the Israelis are killing the Lebanese, too, and whacking them. We're going to do more, too, because America's supporting ISIS. That's right. We're supporting ISIS. We're the ones propping up ISIS. We want to disturb those countries. We want to knock all the governments out. And so there are millions of refugees. Europe is being flooded with people from Syria because we've been bombing Syria regularly for about, you know, 3 or 4 years now. And Iraq is a mess after what we get, you know, George Bush and Barack Obama teamed up, and that place is a mess. They don't have any government. They've been destabilized. So millions of refugees are trying to find another home. And guess what? The United States has a law that says you can come over here. Now, how would they get to the United States? They can't come over across the Rio Grande River like the Mexicans can. They can't fly over here like the more wealthy Chinese and the others come over here and then just stay illegally. But what they can do is seek out these American recruiters and the United Nations recruiters, and they're everywhere. I understand we've got hundreds and hundreds of recruiters down in Central America, El Salvador, Guatemala, Nicaragua, and so forth. They're there signing people up. But then wait, how do the people, when they sign up, they qualify, see, because they're from a poor country. And they say, well, you gave me the three criteria. One, they fear persecution. Or two, they're a victim of violence and war. Or three, they're a victim of a natural disaster. Well, those people don't qualify. The people down in Nicaragua and Panama and all that, or Argentina, they don't qualify. They haven't had any natural disaster. Well, hold it just a minute. Obama administration has widened the rules. Widened the rules. You know, think of this. There are things you cannot say in a politically correct country. Like some colleges are saying now you can't say man and woman. Okay? You just can't say it. It'll make the transgenders feel bad because they don't know what they are. So you can't say man or woman. You can't say boy or girl. Can't even have restrooms that specify which sex it is because there is no sex anymore. That's what the politically correct say to us. But there are words you can't use too. Like you cannot say illegal alien. I was over at a friend's house not too long ago, and this was back during the Romney campaign, and our friends had invited another couple over, and they were big supporters of Romney for president. They were telling me what a great man that, you know, Romney was. I said, well, what's his policy on illegal aliens? I knew what it was. He was for all of illegal aliens doing whatever they. I know he said we're going to send them all back, but that's all baloney. All the Republicans say, yeah, we're going to enforce the border. We're going to... They lie. And he's never done anything on immigration. So I said, what is Romney's stand on immigration? I said, what does he want to do about the illegal aliens? Oh, they had a conniption fit. They went nuts. There are no illegal aliens. Oh, they're not. Don't call them that. Are you Attila the Hun? They actually called me. I was Attila the Hun because I used the term illegal alien. I said, what do you call them? They said they're undocumented persons. Undocumented persons. Aren't they illegal? Oh, don't say that. Oh, that's what Romney's against. He's against people like you. That's interesting. These people, one of them believed that he was going to be very high up in the Romney administration. If Romney were elected, he said, I've been offered a big job. Wow. In the White House. But don't use illegal aliens. Well, guess what? A refugee is not an illegal alien. He's not even, or she is, they're not even immigrants. They're just refugees. Now, they're victims, most of them, of a natural disaster, which is hunger. Now, I've met a lot of Nicaraguans and Panamanians. They all look pretty well fed to me. Now, they don't go and have 1,000 different snacks. They don't have, you know, what are these cupcakes they call them? You know, the little ones with snowballs and all that, you know. They don't have all that stuff. They don't have 1,000 brands of cookies. But they have plenty of food down there. I'm going down to Mexico and people are quite large, most of them. They are. Nobody's starving down there. But I read an article in the Washington Post that said under Obama's new rules, he says that people that have a natural disaster can come over as refugees. What is a natural disaster? Well, if you're not eating as good as the United States. Like the black people of America would qualify if they were not here as refugees. All the black people in America. Why? Because this is a dangerous country for blacks. It's dangerous. A cop could shoot one in the back. Yeah, the Washington Post says that cops can shoot them. They get free range, man, shoot these blacks. Therefore, they're all qualified as refugees. Well, you can't be a refugee unless you're outside the United States. Now, if you're a refugee and you come to the United States, you can get welfare. You can get 8 months of cash. They'll give you a home or a condo to live in. They'll give you all the medical attention you need. They'll give you everything. Blacks, you know, they got to struggle to get those things. If blacks were only refugees, like the Washington Post said, you qualify as refugees. But you don't want to call a refugee an immigrant or an alien. They're brought into the United States and they're given green cards. They're automatically residents. Now, how do they get to the United States? I want to give you a little secret. There are millions and millions and millions of former refugees, now just residents. They're not immigrants. They're not illegal aliens. They're former refugees living in the United States. How did they come here? Brought here by chartered aircraft. The Obama administration is sending chartered aircraft. They're coming first class, my friends. Well, it's coach class, but first class to them. They're flying into communities across America. The Obama administration has identified 193 communities. They won't even tell you what they are. But there's 193 communities that the Department of Homeland Security has identified where they're placing these illegal aliens. Oh, I'm sorry. Excuse me. Refugees. I'm still Attila the Hun, I guess, in my mind. Attila. I'm going to have to read up about Attila the Hun. Doesn't sound like a nice guy, does it? He was a Hungarian, maybe a Hun. We'll find out about him. I wonder if he was a Khazar Jew. Could have been. I think he could have been Attila the Hun. Well, in any case, the refugees are coming over in charter aircraft. They're flying them in from Guatemala, from Congo, from Somalia, from Nepal, from every country on earth. They're coming in. Africa, Asia, South America, Central America, even Mexico. They're busing them in from Mexico. They don't stop at the border. These buses come on in because they've got drivers, and they're paid for by the Department of Homeland Security, and the buses are full up of Mexicans, and they're going to every place in America. They're going up to Minnesota, they're going to Atlanta, Georgia, and they're going to Massachusetts. Isn't that amazing? Well, millions. All the Muslims, too. Now, if you're a Christian and you're in a Muslim country, if you're being persecuted as a Christian, having your head cut off, things like that, you don't qualify. You're not suffering. But if you're a person that, is suffering from privation, from being deprived of nice things, and you're from Nicaragua or Argentina or El Salvador, you can come. And they will give you a green card. They'll put you on a chartered jet. They'll give you a condo. No, doesn't cost you a cent. Give you free food. Give you all your clothes. They give you new clothes. It's a good deal. I've been thinking to myself, going, I think I'm going to renounce my U.S. citizenship, and I'm going to go over to Africa. Maybe I'm going to go to like the Congo or Zimbabwe. Then I'm going to go to the U.S. Embassy or just wherever these people are, these recruiters. They say that. And I'm going to tell them I want to go to the United States. I want to be a refugee. They say, well, are you suffering or what? Yes, I am. I'm in a poor country. I don't have a job anymore. I gave up my job when I left the United States. I want to come over here as a refugee. I bet I can live for several years on the government as a refugee. Folks, now there's something. Just renounce your citizenship and go live in Mexico. And if they won't let you come as a refugee, you can just swim across the Rio Grande and get here that way. Then they let you go. Okay. Well, 700 of every 1,000 United Nations refugees are resettled in the United States. We get 70% of all the refugees in the world. Oh, yes. Well, meanwhile, Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell, remember what he said? Vote for the Republicans in Congress. And House Speaker John Boehner said the same thing. Vote for the Republicans, or we're going to kill Obamacare for you. We're going to kill Obamacare. What did they do? They funded it. They gave money to it. They promoted Obamacare. We're going to stop immigration. Did they stop immigration? No. Hundreds of thousands are flowing across the border. They didn't do anything. What has John Boehner and Mitch McConnell done? Nothing. Now, we have new films out. You see, a group called Center for Medical Progress of conservatives went in and had a secret hidden camera and found out all the dirty, horrible things that Planned Parenthood has been doing. What have they been doing? They've been massacring, killing, murdering little babies in the womb. Some of them, I mean, they're fixed to be born in a week or two. Actually, they're fully formed. Partial birth abortion, they call it. And they're selling the body parts. You see, there are all these companies out there and working on genetic engineering projects and such. And they need baby livers. They need baby brains, I guess. They need baby everything. So they're cutting up the little babies into parts. They're fully formed. They're cutting them up in little parts and selling them to these companies. So Planned Parenthood, that is a $1 billion organization, man, has got money. They got centers all over the United States, Planned Parenthood. They even get money from the United Way campaign. You give money to United Way, you're giving Planned Parenthood. Did you know that? You know, I interviewed right here on Power of Prophecy, a United Way campaign. I said, isn't it true that you give to organizations like Planned Parenthood? Well, yes, we do. Do you know how many abortions they do per year? We don't worry about what they do. Really, you don't? You just give your money to them? Oh, yeah. Well, McConnell, see, conservatives are saying, cut off the funding for Planned Parenthood. Why cut off funding? Did you know that we give $540 million a year? The government gives $540 million a year to Planned Parenthood. What do they use most of that money for? Abortions. Now, Planned Parenthood tells the government, don't worry, we won't use it for abortions. Ha, ha, ha. Wink, wink, wink. So they get $540 million from our tax dollars. And they turn around and do all these abortions. And then they cut up the little bodies of the poor babies and sell them. They're cannibals. They're harvesters of real people. Oh, man. And now people are demanding that our Congress cut the funding to Planned Parenthood. But McConnell says, we can't do that. We don't have the votes. Huh? I thought it was a Republican Congress. The Republicans don't have the vote of Republicans. That's what he says. Wow. Think about that. He's basically saying, I surrender to Planned Parenthood. Go and do what you want. We're not going to stop you. Now, even if the Congress were to vote to strip the money out of Planned Parenthood, this October they get another chance to put it back in. Now, that's what they usually do. There's the scheming deceivers and that are political. They're schemers. They're deceivers. They're monsters. McConnell is a filthy, dirty rat monster. He is. McConnell is useless, says Brent Bozell, chairman of the conservative group For America. He won't fight for anything. And then he whines he doesn't have the votes.
Well, I know that the Senate is a majority Republican, but there are a lot of Republicans that like Planned Parenthood.
Oh, yeah? You like to kill babies? You like to sell their body parts? Are you for real? In any case, Mitch McConnell says, well, the president's made it very clear he's not going to sign any bill that defunds Planned Parenthood. We can't do that. Really? You can't? The House of Representatives is the only organization in the whole world that approves money. They put the money in a bill, and they send the bill to Senate. The Senate confirms it, and it goes to the president. So think about that, friends. Think about it. All they have to do is not put money in Planned Parenthood. They don't have to defund it. They don't have to vote against Planned Parenthood. Just don't give them any money. Mm-hmm. Now, federal agencies run out of money October 1. Congress has to send Obama legislation to finance them. Now, did you get that? On October the 1st, on October the 1st of every year, Congress sends legislation to the White House approving the monies to be spent by the federal government. Ah, you didn't know that, did you? Every project
the federal government is involved in has to get approved by Congress first. If it's not in the federal bill that goes to the president on October 1st, the money bill, they don't get it. Now, how can they cut climate change? The nonsense about the environment. Just don't put money in there for it. So the government can't do one diddly. The government can't spend a cent on global warming. How do you stop Planned Parenthood? Don't put any money in the money bill. It's easy. Don't give them any money. Just don't put them in there. But Obama will get mad. He may stop the government and say, we're not going to put up with this. Well, let him stop anything he wants. I think that'd be a pretty good deal, stop the government. A couple weeks, a couple months, a couple years, forever. Maybe that'd be good, too. We didn't have all these agencies and things. Till 1913, they began to crank up. What about that? You see, they said the Congress has voted to end Obamacare. Did you know that? 51 times the Congress voted to end Obamacare. But every October 1, they put money in there. That's the key vote. Do they get the money or not? If they don't get the money, they can't do anything. That's it then. Don't commit yourself, just omit yourself. Omit Planned Parenthood from the money bill. Now, I don't know if you know what I'm talking about, folks. Everything, every agency that spends money, every group you're going to give money to, it has to be approved on October 1. They can vote against Planned Parenthood 1,000 times, but if they give it money on October 1st, they've approved it. Now, if a congressman, I'm against the Planned Parenthood, I'm going to vote against it. But if he votes to give money on October 1, he's for it. Now, they can be very deceptive in this. So McConnell says, we're short of votes. But even if they voted to keep this money going to Planned Parenthood, they get the chance on October 1st with the fiscal bill. Aha. Planned Parenthood. Boy. They're trying to get these babies and try to get out the bodies intact. They want the young lady to wait until the eighth month so they can have more body parts. Oh, my goodness. That's disgusting. That's sickening. Well, I think we're about ready to end this volume of secrets this month. I might end with this. Did you know that on the Empire State Building in New York City, a Hindu goddess, the goddess Kali, the goddess of death, was displayed on the facade of the building? Yeah, they do it with digitally now and with lights. And they actually made it blue and red and yellow. And you look up into the city skies and there on the Empire State Building was the image of Kali. She had the mark on her forehead. I call it the mark of the beast. She had her tongue hanging out. She took up the whole building. What is Kali doing showcased on the Empire State Building in New York City? Well, the artist who did this, Android Jones, that's his name, Android Jones, said he's doing it to show that Mother Nature now than ever needs an avatar to fight the dangers of pollution and the environment. We need an avatar. We need a messiah on earth, a king, a head of the new world order. We got to have one. The goddess Kali calls for it. My, my. And we used to be a Christian nation. I'm Tex Mars. You've been listening to Power of Prophecy. Tune in each week during the same time and discover the power of prophecy.